It's episode 5024 of the Peer Advantage Podcast. Greetings, my name is Randy Cantrell. I'm your host here. Coming to you from the Yellow Studio in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, today is Monday, December the 18th, 2017, and we are going to do our year-end show. This is going to be the season finale. Well, we don't do seasons here, but I do a podcast that does have seasons, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. The Peer Advantage end of year finale, and we're going to have a special guest. Leo Battari is going to join us. About 4 years ago, I began to grow seriously interested in the notion of business people gathering in formal groups, peer advisory groups, they were known as and still are. These groups existed expressly to help one another grow their businesses and grow their lives. The idea was not one that I had firsthand experience with. So I came to the party late. By the time I had stepped away from the C-suite and operating businesses and I was up to my earlobes in coaching and consulting, I really kind of got my first introduction to this thing. It was probably a little over 4 years ago. And I thought, this is very, very powerful and very, very cool. I also thought that this is very congruent with who I am as a person. I've jokingly said before, but it's the best story that I can use to illustrate how I'm wired. Behind door number one, 300 people, all kinds of people, some very interesting people, some dull people, but you can go spend 3 hours behind door number one. Behind door number two, six people, just six random people, don't know who they are. You can spend 3 hours behind door number two. You're probably not going to be able to finish the sentence, and I'm going to already be in door number two. I'm not anxious to go behind door number one. I would rather have deep conversations, and I love them, and I find them ridiculously powerful. I realize not everybody does. Not everybody's wired like that, and I get it, but I am. So my very first thought when I was exposed to this is I thought, this is so me. I mean, this is right up my alley. I love this. This is great. I got a little bit more interested in it by the time we got to the end of 2015. I'm taking it a bit more seriously now. I'm beginning to think by this point, I think this may be what I want to do. I think I may be ready to bet the farm on this. And by the time you get to the close of 2015, 2 years ago, I'm in. Now, I haven't really completely taken all the action I needed to take, but mentally the switch has been flipped. I'm ready to go and ready to give this a go. By the time we get to then 2016, a book is published, and the book is entitled The Power of Peers, and the co-authors are Leon Shapiro and Leo Battari. Leon Shapiro, CEO of Vistage. Leo Battari, at the time, a vice president for Vistage. By the time we get to the summer, Leo has left Vistage. I don't know this, but I'm watching from afar via the internet. I've read the book. I'm impressed. I've flipped the switch 6 months ago. By the time you get to the end of 2015, now we're to the summer of 2016. I'm like, I want to do this. This is a space I want to play in. I want to play in it kind of my own way, but I want to play in this space. I did a chapter-by-chapter summary of that book, by the way, on the podcast. It starts with episode 5003. I'll put links in the show notes. If you go to the website, growgreat.com, just search for the episode number 5024. That's why we have podcast episode numbers, so that you'll know. It's not to brag about how many episodes you've got, at least not for me. For me, it's just a way to make it easier for you to find the show notes because I've got the links there. So you're listening, you're in the gym, you can't write anything down, you're driving in the car, you're not going to. Just remember 5024. It starts with episode 5003 and it goes to episode 5014. And we do a little bit of a wrap-up conversation with Leo Battari, the co-author of the book, The Power of Peers. And I'll put links again in the show notes so that you can go back and you can listen to those episodes. They give you a chapter-by-chapter summary of that book. I would encourage you to buy the book if you want to learn more about the peer advantage. The book is filled with terrific advice, and it's filled with some great stories. But I want to tell you about reaching out to Leo because it serves as a really solid case study, I think, for the power of peer advantage. And so we're at the summer of 2016. I see Leo online somewhere. He's done some kind of an interview with somebody and it gets put on YouTube, or it was a video. I don't see him anywhere else. I mean, I see some print stuff, but I didn't see any audio stuff. I didn't see, it was the only video thing that I saw at the time. And being a longtime podcaster, the thought crosses my mind. I wonder if this guy has thought at all about having his own podcast. I really like the subject. Keep in mind, I'm 6 months into making the mental commitment. I've just got to kind of get myself in a position where this is going to kind of be how it's going to roll for me. As Encore.org said, you know, it's my Encore career. Those of us that are getting older, I'm not old, but I'm older. You got experience, got skins on the wall. Life just changes. And now for me, and unbeknownst to me at the time, but also for Leo, it's significant work. It's really significant work, and it really matters, really important stuff for us, and I think for you and for anybody who would take advantage of it. So now we get to the fall of 2016, and I've been watching from afar, and I've kind of got this idea burning in my head of reaching out to Leo to see, what would you think about having a podcast? And I would help. And I pre-thought all this, and I pre-thought, okay, what do I want out of this deal? I don't want anything out of this deal. I'm not looking for a paycheck. I'm not looking for money. I'm not looking for introductions. This is a space I really am committed to. I'm not actively in it yet, but I want to be. And that's the motivation for me. So I reach out to Leo. Now, there's a little bit of confusion right off the bat. He thinks that I'm inviting him onto the show, and I'm like, no. I'm asking you if you have any interest in having your own podcast. Oh, well, he hadn't thought about it. And he didn't know how to podcast. And I said, don't worry, I can handle all that. And in the very first conversation, and I did a video for him. I mean, I sold it. There's no question. I was pitching. And you can say, well, why were you pitching? You weren't asking for it. Yeah, you're asking for a lot now. You're asking for a relationship. And you've heard it before, and I know that you poo-poo it, and you don't always think it's true, that if you just serve people without any expectation, that it pays dividends. Is that a universal maxim truth? No. But by and large, it is. It does depend on who you reach out to. You know, you can reach out to some selfish sot and it won't happen, right? They'll take every advantage of you and leave you in the dust. But that's not who I was reaching out to, and I knew that. Is it a chance? Yeah, sure. It's the same chance every teenage boy makes when he asks a girl out. She can say no, but she may say yes, right? So no risk, no reward. So in the very first conversation with Leo, which was probably even in the video that I did for him, I did a little 12-minute video and I just kind of walked him through, here's what we could do. Didn't tell him what to do, just here's some ideas. And I was very upfront, right out of the gate. I said, here's what I'm looking for. Here's the reason I'm reaching out to you. I really like this space. I do not operate in this space. I am going to spend the next year learning all that I can, absorbing all that I can, and I just want to hang on for the ride, and I want guilt by association. That was the phrase I used. And I'm willing to serve you and push this agenda forward because I really believe in it. And I also really believe that I'm meant to do this kind of work, and I'm meant to do it at this particular time in my life. Well, it got traction. And it started growing legs, and we started moving toward it. And now we get to the end of 2016. So we're a year ago, and we got it down. I mean, the plans are in place, and we've got a roster of people that we're thinking about reaching out, and he wanted it to be an interview-based show, and we're going to do it on video, and we're going to put it on YouTube, and we're going to embed those videos at his website, leobattari.com, or you can go to yearofthepeer.com, and we start talking to some really insanely successful people. I reach out to some people. Leo reaches out to some people. He introduces me to some people. I introduce him to some people. And we talked with all kinds of just, it's a Hall of Fame roster. It just is. I'm going to put links to the wrap up show. Leo and I, just this weekend, we recorded a wrap up show for that podcast, Year of the Peer. I did the voiceover stuff for it and various and other sundry things. But it was his show, and I was putting him forward, and I was not shining the light on myself at all, and I didn't have any expectation of anything other than it was what it was. Now, about 4 months ago, Leo says, let's change it up next year for 2018. Let's co-host this thing. You need to co-host this thing with me. And the two of us, we just need to have, we can have a conversation, we can talk through some things, and then occasionally we can have guests on. Well, I was flattered, as you would well imagine. I wasn't expecting it. It came out of the blue. These are the things that can happen, people, when you put yourself out there and you serve other people and you just leave yourself open to the possibility. Now, I get that there's a lot in that. There's a lot in you not having the expectation or saying that you don't have the expectation, but really deep down back of your mind, you kind of sort of do. I didn't. My expectation was that I was going to operate in this space. My expectation was, and I told him this straight up, I'm wanting to start my own group. I don't want to do an in-person group. I don't want to have to get in the car and drive, and I don't want other people to have to get in the car and drive. I don't want to take half a day or a full day, and I don't want it to be stupid money. I want it to be inexpensive. And I want to make it cost-effective, and I don't want a big, big group of people. I just want seven. So now we launched the podcast in January. By the time we get to February, he's got a speaking gig in Houston. I'm in Dallas, Texas, and I tell him I'll drive down there and we'll meet up. He had a full day or half a day, and we met at a restaurant, and we spent about half a day together. And in that meeting, we talked about the podcast. I mean, the podcast and his work, it was the primary thing. It's what I was there for. Again, I'm not getting any paycheck. I'm not getting anything out of this monetarily, but I'm getting things that are priceless. I'm getting things that money can't buy. Number one, I'm getting a relationship with a gentleman that just months before I didn't even know. And we're forging a friendship and a relationship that it might not have, right? We could have been two guys that just didn't click, but we happen to be two guys that are similar in age. Our experiences are vastly different. We're from completely different parts of the country. We've got completely different backgrounds and experiences. But there's just something powerfully cool about that, you know? And had I not reached out and he not been open and willing to say yes, it would have never happened. Would have never happened. So we're sitting in this restaurant and I'm telling him more about, he's wanting to know more about my idea. What do you want? And I said, I don't know what I want. I know that I want to operate in this space. I don't have any designs, Leo, on building some big, you know, big industrial machine that's got a ton of group. I want one group. I want one group of seven people. And I ran the numbers by him, and I said the numbers aren't, you know, I mean, it is what it is. It's not going to be the end all be all, and it's not going to be a money grab. But I just put a number to what, if I got up in the morning to do the work, could I keep doing it? Would it be sustainable? And would I be excited to do the work? And I intentionally came up with what I felt was, okay, well, what's the low number? Because I wanted it to be cost effective for each member. And so we're talking through this, and I tell him my idea, and I tell him, and you can find out the details to all of this. Everything that we talked about, I've got it pretty much chronicled over at thepeeradvantage.com. And he's like, I like it. I think it's a great idea. I think you're perfectly wired to do it. You've got all the tools that it takes to be really good at it, I think, he says. So the encouragement, well, that helps, right? We all need encouragement. We all need to have our confidence. Well, okay, maybe we don't all need it, but most of us need a boost in our confidence. I say that tongue in cheek because you and I both know people that, right, they probably got too much confidence, not enough humility. But he challenges me. And in that conversation, we're sitting there and he says, you need to have two groups. And I said, two? Yeah, you need to do two groups of seven each. Why? Well, because some people are going to be AM people and some people are not. So you need to do an AM and a PM. And I'm like, hadn't thought about it. He said, well, then you're serving twice as many people. That's number one. Yes, you're grossing twice as much money, but you're serving twice as many people. You're not just going to change seven lives then. You're going to change 14. And then all of the associated employees and all the associated family members. And it's a, you know, that's a, those are big footsteps. That's good. And I said, I like it. And that's how the relationship has developed and evolved. So now by the time we get to about 4 months ago, he's asking me to co-host. I've rebranded at this point. I've rebranded this podcast from the Grow Great podcast to the Peer Advantage because I so believe in this and I so want to operate in this space and have every intention of doing it. And my hope is that if you're a small business owner in America and you're so disposed to be interested in being one of my 14 members, I'd love to have a conversation with you. Just go visit thepeeradvantage.com and you can find out more. So yesterday, Leo and I, we wrap up season one of Year of the Peer. And as an outgrowth of the podcast, by the time we get to late spring, early summer of 2017, this year, Leo's like, there's a book here. I'm going to write another book. Now, the tagline to his podcast, which was always, it was brilliant from the get-go, and that is, who you surround yourself with matters. I introduced Leo to somebody that I didn't know, but I was connected with her through LinkedIn, and I had followed her for a considerable period of time because I've got kids. My grown kids are in the field of public education. Her name is Angela Myers. I reach out to Angela. I'd watched her videos and stuff, and I'm like, here's who I am. Here's the podcast I produce. I'd like to have a conversation with you about being on the show. One thing leads to another, and we all three hit it off. She and Leo hit it off. She gets on the show. Business is not her deal. This woman is on a mission to change public education, and her whole thing is that you matter. It's for her, it's about mattering. And she's using that in a verb form. Well, that resonated with Leo. And this whole who you surround yourself with matters. And first and foremost, it begins with the fact that you matter. You make a difference. And you can make a difference in somebody else's life if you will give yourself the opportunity to do that. Other people, conversely, can make a difference in your life if you will give them the opportunity to do that. So we did a wrap-up of that show just this weekend, yesterday, in fact, and it was released today. I'll put links to that. And so I asked Leo to join me today. So this morning, he and I recorded a conversation that I'm fixing to play for you. And I'm going to embed the video of this over at the website. So if you want to see Leo and I talking, we did this by Skype. And, you know, we're two guys that are pushing this agenda forward because of the power of it. The power of the peer advantage. The power of us being intentional about the people that we surround ourselves with. About the people that we let into our lives. The people that we invite into our lives. And the people that we will open ourselves up to be invited into their life to help them. And so with that, I'm going to play for you this interview. So enjoy, and I'll come back at the end and we'll wrap this up. Well, as promised, Leo Battari has agreed to join me today for the show, and we're going to kind of pick Leo's brain. He has got a new book coming out in 2018 that we'll talk a little bit about as we get to the end of the show. But thanks for saying yes to this, Leo. I appreciate it.
Anytime. It's been great working with you all year on Year of the Parrot podcast. So it's great to do this.
Yeah, and I want to encourage everybody to check that out. You can go to Leo Battari. That's LeoBottari.com. Or you could go to yearofthepeer.com, and it'll get you to the same place. Subscribe to the podcast. We had, you know, well over 40 guests in the roster. You know, we just released it. In fact, as we're hitting the record button today, December the 18th, 2017, we just released it today. And it's an impressive list of people that appeared on that podcast from all walks of life, which is really terrific. Our audience here, Leo, is primarily small business owners. And with small being defined not so much by the size of the organization as far as revenues or as far as the number of employees go, but more the flatness of the organization and how close the owner is to the work, in that they're not in some, you know, lofty ivory tower and so far removed from the work that they're not involved in the day-to-day. You've spent considerable time this year. You've done, I know, 40 or more workshops with CEOs, and considerable time with business owners and CEOs who have already figured out the peer advantage. And my question is, what do those people know that are already in those kinds of settings? What do they know that other business owners and CEOs don't?
You know, I think, first of all, two things. One, many business owners and CEOs don't even know that this idea of formal peer groups is available to them and really very much at their disposal. And I think no matter where they live, if we're talking about a U.S. audience, you can have access to these groups anywhere in the country. There are large organizations who run them, smaller organizations. You can start your own. There's a book by Bill George that he wrote in 2011 called True North Groups. But I think that just this idea of accessing other CEOs and realizing that leaders like that can help one another in ways that you just can't get in a book. I would say that's probably, really one of the biggest things, you know, is just knowing that it's available to them. And I think secondly, once people get into these groups and they realize how much they can learn from one another, how much they're not alone in some of the with some of the various challenges they have, that not only feels good, it breathes a sigh of relief in many respects for a lot of these business owners, but they can really help one another kind of navigate that. And I think also when your companies start scaling a little bit, I think there's some real guidance to be had from other leaders when it comes to how should I be spending my time as the leader of this company? Am I going to constantly be stuck in the weeds, you know, where my ability to grow this organization is going to be really limited? Or how do I go about going to that next phase of growth for our company? And I think this is where these business owners help one another, and they're very powerful and they're very effective. And so, you know, that's kind of where I think is the big deal right now.
What's the biggest hurdle, do you think, to small business owners or CEOs more seriously considering adding this kind of a tool, of a resource to their arsenal, other than the fact that they just don't know? Is there some other thing that prevents people, even if they do know, some reticence, some reluctance?
Yeah, if they do know, they don't think they have the time. And if you don't think you have the time, then you need it the most. It's kind of how I feel about it.
Yeah.
In other words, and peer groups run in a lot of different ways, but let's assume that it's a monthly meeting. It could be a half day meeting, could be a full day meeting. Many business owners will be like, oh man, no way can I be without, you know, not at my company for a full day. And you should ask yourself, you know, why not? Why can't I take a day away? And by the way, you're not taking a day away from your business. You are actually going to be working on your business, on the kinds of issues related to your business that is often very difficult to address when you're caught in the day-to-day and constantly distracted by so many things. So I think what we find is that there's the perception that I can't make the time for this. Then there's the realization that if I can't make the time one day a month, then that maybe could be one of my big problems. And then once I realize that and I participate in this group for 6 months a year, I think I can absolutely make the time. And by the way, it frees me up to do the kinds of things I should be doing as a leader in this company instead of some of the other things that you get caught doing while you're at the office every day.
You know, business owners and CEOs are, I mean, it's as diverse a population as any of the rest of us. You know, there are outliers, of course, in every population, including business owners and CEOs. But generally speaking, what are some common denominators that you have found, especially this year as you've interacted with these groups? What are some of the common denominators of these leaders in these groups, as diverse as they are, that you feel like may have lent itself to them embracing the peer advantage over people that may be more prone to an autocratic way of leadership? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think let's define peer advantage as kind of what happens when we tend to be more selective, strategic, and structured about how we engage the people around us. We know peer influence is a very powerful force. It's been that way since we were little kids. It hasn't changed since we were adults. The question is, how do we harness it with purpose? And this is what, being in a peer group really allows you to do. I think the people who are successful in these groups are the people who check their egos at the door. And that's tough because, you know, we're the top dog in our organization. We're the answer person. We're the one that's supposed to know everything. When you go into a CEO group, you kind of put that aside and you realize I'm here to learn. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to learn from one another. I'm here to, you know, really explore and discover, you know, some best practices and different perspectives and ways of seeing the world that are outside of my company and outside of my industry sector, oftentimes, that are extremely valuable. And I think if you can be there just to soak up what's around you, I think is one of the common denominators. And I think the other one by far, there's also, I think, the real feeling that the more that I give, the more that I can get back. That if I'm there and I can also contribute my experiences and I can listen and I can, be helpful to others, that when I do that and I've got my group of 8, 10, 12, 16 people, whatever that happens to be, I'm going to get that ROI in return, you know, from those folks when you're all in and participating at that level. And I think that those are the two things I think that contribute. There are many, but there are two things that I think are high up on the list that make for people who these peer groups could really work well for versus others that, you know, if you're really only interested in yourself and you're really just think that I'm going to go and pontificate to others for a day and really not going to listen and not going to be the kind of participant that adds value, then the group is not for you. But I think when you look at among the most progressive small business owners and leaders today who realize that we are in a fast-paced, fast-changing world where we can't know everything and we are not alone in the challenges that we're facing, and the idea that getting together with people who understand what it's like to sit in your chair and have to make decisions for your organization, I think it's very, very powerful, and I think people discover that really quickly.
I know, because you and I have had some discussions just off air throughout the year with your workshops that you do, and feel free to tell us a little more about those and kind of what you do. But the opportunities, and I'm thinking particularly of the groundswell, if that's even a good phrase for it, of this being even internal in some bigger organizations. You know, so many things have to be an initiative from the top down, but as you get to lower levels in organizations, I mean, I have found that while it may not be formalized, there's significant cooperation and collaboration going on. Some cultures it's better than others, but I'm wondering how you see the future of whether it's the peer advantage or just the surrounding yourself with people that can accelerate your improvement. If there, if it's a, is it more powerful from a grassroots? Is it something that needs to be an edict from on high? Because I know that you've interacted with CEOs who are pretty interested in the possibilities of formulating a group within their own company of different departments that may not reach out and talk to each other and understand each other as fully as they should. And the opportunities that that affords even inside an organization.
So lots of questions in there. Yeah. I'm going to do my best to kind of unpack that because I think there's a lot there. First of all, and I see you've got the book behind you, The Power of Peers. The reason we really wrote the book, to be honest with you, is that you've got these peer groups that are that do so much for so many people, yet too few people use them. And what we wanted to explore, and I did this when I was at Vistage, but this is not a Vistage hardcover brochure. We looked at peer groups from here in the U.S. and all over the world of all different kinds. And what we wanted to do is to look at how and why they work. Kind of why they work is they tend to create a reinforcing learning loop, right? People learn from one another. They share that learning. They embed that learning and make it deeper and richer for one another. But then it also actually gives them the courage to act on things that they've learned so that they're able to apply them to their organizations. Oftentimes we might read things in a book that we think are really great ideas, but we're not necessarily going to implement it in our company tomorrow. So, you know, I think when you, you know, look at things like that, this kind of reinforcing loop that's created there, where all of a sudden when someone achieves something that they've applied from what they've learned and shared with the group, that's something, that's a process they want to continue. The other piece, and I'll go through this really quickly because it is foundational to the workshop piece, is that we found there are five factors that are common to high-performing peer groups. And to your point, they are also common to high-performing teams. One is you have to have the right people in the room. You have to have a safe and trusting environment. You've got to be in a situation where you are highly productive and you're fostering really valuable interaction among one another. You are accountable, but not accountable to whoever's leading the group or whoever is running a team or to the CEO. Is getting that group or get that team to be accountable to one another is really the magic. And that's where we see very high-performing teams operate at that level. And then finally, the leader of that group or the leader of any team in a company, you know, we've certainly found that a model of servant leadership, one where the leader is there to make the team successful, not that the team is there to make them successful, and that that leader can serve as a steward of the other four factors that I mentioned, you know, I think is really essential to that. So when you mentioned the workshop, what we do in the workshop is we get CEOs to sit down with one another and basically self-assess. So they define, what does it mean for us to have the right people in the room? What does safe and confidential environment look like, you know, for us? They talk about where they are today, where they'd like to be, and we develop an action plan against that. What we also do is say, because they'll go through this workshop, it takes about 3 hours, and it prompts some amazing conversations. So then it becomes easy to say to these business owners, imagine if you inspired these same conversations in your own organization. What would that look like? What do you think you'd learn? And many of these small business owners do just that. And there are some remarkable things that happen. And when you look at the business space or the education space or whatever, the more that the leader engages in their own collaboration, the more effective they're going to be able to bring it into their organization, for teachers to bring it into their classrooms, whatever it happens to be. And when you can get people working together really, really effectively, that's the magic. And that's where the power of this really comes into play. And I think it's proven time and time again. You look at the very best teams, whether they're learning teams in the academic space or, you know, business teams. That's kind of what's going on. So I hope that kind of addressed a lot of
No, it's good. It's good. And I think it gives everybody a sense, you know, of also of what you do and your hard contribution to this effort. Yeah. You know, I'm reminded of the phrase that, Tom Peters and Bob Waterman and, you know, the seminal book In Search of Excellence, you know, it's management by walking around. You know, there's so many leaders that just are siloed and isolated. And to me, in my experience, I mean, that's a huge part of all of this, of not siloing yourself, of putting yourself out there and being somewhat vulnerable. And to your earlier point, I think the people that are bent toward an autocratic way of life, they're never going to embrace this. They just, it's a mindset that just doesn't know what it's missing.
So here's the language that I use around that with the business owners in these groups. I say that at least what I've seen is that the people who are most effective are leaders who do see themselves as a part of the team, not apart from it. So the autocratic leader you're talking about sees themselves as apart from the team. They're not really part of the team. They're just, right. You know, directing and pounding and, you know, command and control and taking that on. The person who is part of the team really dives in, is walking around, is modeling the kinds of behaviors that he or she expects team members to model. And it makes a very, very big difference when you're all in the same boat, if you will, right? To, you know, talk about a common peer-to-peer axiom. And these things are very much true. You know, when we're all in it together, when we're all in the same boat, and, you know, it really makes a big difference in terms of what it does to unify people, especially when it comes to teams who are really there for a common cause. You know, groups typically work to help one another achieve their individual goals. Teams are really about how do we work together toward a common goal. And I think in both cases, when you have those five factors clicking on all cylinders, and when you have a leader who believes they are part of that team, then again, I think a really powerful combination.
You know, and here in Dallas, Texas, it's so easy. And of course, we have all four major sports represented, and three of the four, except for the Rangers. And the Rangers made the World Series twice, didn't win it. But in every case, with all the media exposure that these teams get in the Dallas Cowboys get globally, and the conversations about how much they're playing for each other, especially on the superior forming teams, it's just a constant thing. I don't know why it's so difficult in the business world for us to get our head wrapped around that. But you started the conversation by checking your ego at the door, and that probably is the culprit, largely.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it.
Let me end by as we close out 2017, and tell us some of your goals, some of your dreams for next year, and tell us about some of your own work, and hawk whatever you want to hawk, and I'll make sure to include in the notes and the links for people that may want to get in touch with Leo. These workshops that he does are he's largely doing them to groups of CEOs, but you know, he's a speaker for hire and does great work. He and I are kind of joined at the hip in this evangelizing this movement because we both believe in it so much. But talk to us about 2018, goals, dreams, aspirations, and what your plans are.
Sure. So, with, you know, the year of the peer, as you know, which you've been such a, you know, a central part in helping, you know, to promote through our Year of the Peer podcast, was really put together largely because we have a society oftentimes where, you know, all too often we don't reach out to others as effectively as we could. And we're not in this alone. We have access to the greatest number of people and the greatest amount of information in the history of the planet. And we have to be open to accessing it and accessing one another. And at a time, according to Edelman Trust Barometer and I think others, where trust in institutions is that it's really at a real low point. And I mean institutions, and this is, of course, if I'm talking about the Edelman study, it's 28 countries around the world. And that's media, business, government, and even NGOs, non-governmental organizations. This is where, when we don't trust institutions, the importance of our looking to one another becomes ever more important. So when I think about, you know, dreams, if you will, you know, I would love it if we lived in a society. I have a granddaughter now who's 10 months old. I want to grow up in a world where she's not shading her paper from another student, where she's engaged in collaborative learning, where she's about listening for understanding of others and for people who will do the same for her, and that we start really realizing that we are all in this together in this world, and that all of the divisiveness that could be created by our inability to have respectful conversations with one another is just completely unnecessary. And, you know, so when we look at 2018, you know, I've got a book coming out in 2018, and the title of it is What Anyone Can Do. And it's basically how surrounding yourself with the right people will drive change, opportunity, and success. And the point of it really, it comes from reference that Joe Henderson, who is a former writer for Runner's World, he wrote this book called The Long Run Solution back in 1976. And he was talking about runners. But basically what he was saying is, you know, you look at a lot of successful runners, he said, these aren't people necessarily who can leap tall buildings in a single bound or are capable of doing things that no one else can do. He said, all they do is do the things anyone can do, but most of us never will. And so I really thought about that in terms of this book. And I thought, well, on one hand, anyone can surround themselves with people who can encourage them and offer them advice and help them do what they want to do. And I think when you do that, when you surround yourself with the right people, they'll help you do those little things anyone can do far more often. And so I'd really love for each of us to kind of look at, what are these little things that I could do far more often? How could I drive my own success and actually put myself in a position to be even that much more helpful to the people around me? Could be friends, family, neighbors, business associates, employees, whatever that looks like. You know, it's not a lot different, as you and I have talked about, like the instructions you get in the aircraft when they tell you to put the oxygen mask on yourself before attempting to help others. You know, I think all of us can take a look in the mirror, figure out what we want, enlist the people that can help us make that possible, help us do those little things that anyone can do far more often, and we can become, you know, far closer to achieving, you know, our goals. You know, the last quote that I have in the book, and actually Simon Alexander Ong, who you remember was a guest on our podcast, actually had it on Facebook yesterday, and it was defined as the definition of hell, basically, where on our last day on earth, the person that we are gets to meet the person we could have become. Now, if that doesn't scare the hell out of you, I don't know what does, right?
Yeah.
So figure, you know, we have this one life to live that we can do extraordinary things with. And I think we have a responsibility to do extraordinary things with it. I mean, to ourselves and to others. And I think to the extent that, you know, again, we can really start looking at not doing superhuman things, not putting some real unrealistic schedule or making crazy demands of ourselves or anything, but really just getting down to what are the little everyday things that I can do that if I do that, it can improve my life, it can improve my business, you know, whatever that happens to look like. So that's what I'm about for 2018, working with you, working with so many others. You know, the beauty of something like this is I absolutely cannot do this by myself. So it actually involves enlisting as many other people as possible to write books, write articles, write comments, share the word, participate in it in their own way. And if we do that, I think that that society that I'm talking about that my granddaughter gets to grow up in, I hope could be that much better.
Yeah, well, and I, as a grandfather, I've got the same motivation, you know, for my grandkids as well. And I do feel like we're on the forefront, and I feel like we're at the tip of the iceberg. And I don't mean that about us as people, but I just feel like the timing of it, that we're at the tip of the iceberg as far as evangelizing the conversation and the movement, which is largely, and I've been very candid with my audience, kind of an encore career for me, you know. And you and I, we're older heads, we're experienced, we got some skins on the wall. And I think largely for both of us, it's now really morphed away from whatever the earlier ambitions were as young guys to real significance is the best word that I've got for it work that we both believe in.
I think that's true. And I think the winds are shifting to your point. In large part, I think we can see it even on social media, where it's not so much about how many Twitter followers can I amass, how many connections can I make and all that, so much as how can I create deeper, more meaningful connections with the people around me. And I think that's a really important shift. And I think a shift in a good direction. I think we should always, of course, be open to extending our reach and learning from others you know, whether it's the people that are around us every day, people we might meet on a flight for an hour and a half, whatever that happens to be. You never know who you're going to meet and what you can learn from them, you know, at a given time. But at the same time, trying to be better at, you know, really listening and really taking the time to engage in deeper conversations with people so that we can, you know, help one another in this world. I think, you know, I think that's a good shift in the right direction, and one I know both of us are happy to be part of. So.
Yeah, well, thanks for doing this, and I'll remind people that I did an audio summary, a chapter-by-chapter summary of the book, The Power of Peers. I'll put that in the show notes for today's episode. And I appreciate you a lot. I'm a big fan, which the audience knows is the primary reason that I reached out to Leo. So if there are people in your life, I guess my parting shot would be, and I'll leave Leo with the last word. If there are people that you observe from afar, as I did Leo, I read the book, I saw him do some interview online, and I reached out to him, a complete stranger a year and a half ago. And if he and I and our relationship is not a case study in his tagline, who you surround yourself with matters, then I don't know what is. So I would encourage anybody in the audience, you know, reach out, ask. We joked yesterday with our wrap-up show that people were commenting about, how are you getting such great people on the Year of the Peer podcast? And, you know, Leo and I both have told people separately and together, we're asking. That's the nature of the beast. These people are generous, and those tend to be some of the highest performing people on the planet. So I appreciate you. I appreciate the listeners of the Peer Advantage podcast, as I have rebranded it. As my audience knows, I'm trying to morph into 2018, at least the construction of two very small groups of seven small business owners from around America to get online together for a couple of hours every other week. It's not a big time suck, but it is a time. It's a time commitment. And I'll leave you with the last parting shot, Leo.
All right. Well, you know, as I've mentioned to you many times privately, but happy to tell your listeners, I appreciate you more than you know. And I'm so grateful that you reached out and that we're doing the work we're doing together. It's really exciting. I would say, as we get into this holiday season, there's two things that I'd love for our listeners to think about. One is, think about those people who are part of your life, who surround you. And during these holidays, tell them how much you appreciate them. Tell them how much they mean to you. And I think, you know, that will be a fun moment, you know, for both of you when you do that. I also would say that if you're among the folks, and there are many who typically, you know, hold on to or identify a New Year's resolution for yourself, you know, University of Scranton says that 92% of you will fail at achieving your New Year's resolution. You won't fail if you reach out to those people who you told you appreciate, who can help you do those little things that anyone can do. And you can identify something that you want for yourself. Think about the little things it would take to get there. Enlist the support of the people around you who are happy to help you do what you have expressed that you want for yourself. And if you can do the same for them, you guys are going to get started with a great 2018 right out of the gate. So anyway, thanks to you, Randy, and all your listeners, and just everyone, have a wonderful holiday.
Thanks, Leo. I really appreciate the way that Leo ended the show and that interview with the admonition, take a look at the people that are in your life already. So let's start there. Let's not start with the people that aren't in your life that you might wish were. But let's start with who you've got. I find myself telling people increasingly more and more almost every day that gratitude is a big answer for a lot of our problems. And the gratitude for the people that are in your life, the people who have made a difference in your life, whatever success you have achieved in your business, you have achieved it because other people helped you. Whatever you have accomplished in your life on a personal level, you have done it because other people helped you. This is a great time of the year as we wrap up a year to reach out to these people who maybe you have not fully expressed your appreciation for, and do that. Take the time out of your day and let these people know how meaningful they are to your life. You know, the positive reinforcement, guys, is just a big deal. It's a big deal. It propels us forward. About 6 or 8 months ago, I got on a campaign to really up my fitness game. Been going to the gym every day and been doing that for years and years, but I'm like, I've got to drop some weight and I just need to lean up and I really need to get more tone and fit. So I rededicated myself, and what I did is I changed my diet. First thing I did is I started tracking calories. And for about the first 90 days, I intentionally tried to go as many days as I could at about 1,000 calories. Some days I went more, some days I went less. And I realized that was a dramatic thing, but I needed to do it because I was completely hooked on carbs, right? So crackers, bread, chips, I mean, and junk. Carbs and junk. You can't be healthy going to the gym every day eating carbs and junk. So I did it intentionally to kind of train my brain, because I know myself well enough after this many years to know how I roll, and I knew that I had to really shake it up, right? I had to really completely do something different. And boy, the inches started coming off. And then I started hitting the weights because the positive reinforcement of what I'm doing is working. Then let's keep doing more, right? This is working. And okay, then you hit the weights and you realize, okay, that's working even better. And it just feeds on itself. Your life and my life and every aspects of our life work exactly the same way. So when people positively reinforce the appreciation, when you hear someone tell you that they appreciate the work that you do, don't you want to do more of it? This year, Leo has been very generous and very gracious. And what we have found is all this whole big list of people, 40 some odd names, high performing people, they're all gracious and they're all generous and they're all open. They're all willing to say yes. And we've had people like, you know, Jeff Hoffman. I mean, Jeff Hoffman's a billionaire. Couldn't be more gracious. Couldn't be more generous. Couldn't have been. I mean, he was a great guest. They were all great guests. If we want to join the ranks of the highest performing people on the planet, then let's do that. And let's encourage each other to do it. Now, I'm not talking about some kumbaya kind of a thing. But the positive reinforcement that happened for me in my fitness quest and the benefit that served, it serves all of us in everything that we're chasing and pursuing. When people express an appreciation for you, you want to do more. Okay, well then let's give it in return. Let's show our appreciation for other people. Let's reinforce that so that we can benefit, so that the whole world can benefit. I've used the moniker, well, that's the wrong word for it, but I've used as an illustration is a better word for it. And you've seen that cartoon of a little boy out on the beach, starfish, they're everywhere. He's throwing them in one at a time, and an old man says, you're not making any difference. And the kid throws one back and says, well, it mattered to that one. And that's exactly how I feel about this work. And I suspect that you may feel that way about various aspects of your work as well. Just because we may not be able to do something on a global scale, and some people can, and some people want to, I don't. I admit I don't. I'm just a guy in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, who is on a mission in 2018 to launch 2 groups of 7 small business owners and to change and help change their world. And that's a big deal to me. It's a really big deal to me. And if you're one of the 14, it's going to be a really big deal to you too. And I think it's perfectly great and wonderful. And I do think that we need to encourage one another along the way. Whatever you do, whatever your business is, whatever your life is all about, whatever your leadership looks like, I want to encourage you, let's commit ourselves to growth. Let's commit ourselves to improvement. Let's commit ourselves to transformation. Doesn't happen overnight, but man, the results can be spectacular. It can be so rewarding. And frankly, it's a much better way to roll. Hey, so with that, happy new year, safe holidays. Visit the website. You can find many resources there at growgreat.com. If you're interested in the peer advisory groups that I'm going to be forming as quickly as I can in 2018, visit thepeeradvantage.com. And until 2018, kids, greetings and welcome inside the Yellow Studio.